Good morning, everyone. I would like to read for you from the Jesus is Calling for January 1st, because I thought it was pretty good for us to get focused in on our new year together and what God is wanting from us and for us. And it says this: come to me with a teachable spirit, eager to be changed. A close walk with me is a life of continual newness, not to cling to old ways as you step into a new year. Instead, seek my face with an open mind, knowing that your journey with me involves being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And as you focus your thoughts on me, be aware that I am fully attentive to you. I see you with a steady eye because my attention span is infinite. I know and understand you completely, and my thoughts embrace you in everlasting love. And I also know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Give yourself fully to this adventure of increasing attentiveness to my presence in the days to come. You know, a lot of times we forget that God has an incredible plan for us, and his plan involves everything that's going to happen in the next 362 days or so that we have left of this year. And he is there not just kicking the plan into motion and saying good luck. He is walking with us step by step. So whatever you face, whatever you encounter, you get to choose how you're going to do that. You can do that on your own as a maverick trying to get out and conquer the Wild West, or you can do it as a child holding your Heavenly Father's hand and walking with him as he sees you through everything you'll face, whether it's life to the full or even the grave. He is for you and with you and will always be. This is a great day that the Lord's made for us, and one of the great things that we get to do is worship together today. And as we do so, I want to encourage you to remember those in prayer that are not able to be with us because of health concerns. Remember those who have cancer and are struggling through those situations that they're facing, and sometimes they feel alone and they need us as God's people to come alongside them and remind them that God loves them and so do we. But also just to remember that there are many people who could be encouraged just by a phone call or a card this year. So feel free to do that. Make sure you reach out to other people this year and encourage them with God's love and your love as well. So as the worship team comes, let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, today is a day that you've made for us to live to the fullest, and we choose to do so. And it is a great day, a day in which we can gather together and rejoice in your love and your goodness, and to just rest in the fact that you are with us and for us. We don't know what's coming, but you do. And you are preparing us for what's next. And Lord, yesterday is just a day that's gone by, but today is the day that we have to live into. Live into it with you by our side. And not only that, we don't even get tomorrow, because when it gets here, it truly is just today. So let's stop worrying about what's ahead. Let's forget what is behind, unless it helps us live better for you this moment. And let's do it all for your glory and your praise, Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand as we worship together this morning.
Praise, Father, all glorious God, return. Almighty, most holy God, faithful through the ages, Almighty, most holy Lord, glorious Almighty God. The beasts of the field, the birds of the air, are silent to call out your name. Earth has no voice, and I have no choice but to magnify God unashamed. Let the rocks get silent for one more day. Let the whole world sing out, let the people say, Almighty, most holy God, faithful through the ages, Almighty. Most holy Lord, glorious Almighty God. While time marches on, with innocence gone, and the darkness has covered the earth, but His Spirit still dwells, He speaks in His well, and the hopeless still offers new birth. In the brandish of death, it will have no sting. Let the prisoner go free, join the dance and sing. Almighty, most holy God, faithful through the ages. Almighty, most holy Lord, glorious Almighty God. Holy, holy,
Thank you.
This morning, early in the morning, the fire department was called out to go to a fire call. And so they're still working on those details right now and taking care of that. But there's so much going on in our world right now, and it seems so confusing at times. But the great thing is that we can always come before the Lord, and we can pray for protection for those who we love, those who we don't like, and for those who we can, for those who don't even know that they need our prayers. I met a young man a couple years ago, and he at the ripe old age of like 30 years old, just recently fell while trying to show his daughter how to skateboard, and fell and broke his hip. And so he knows how some of you older folks feel about falling down and going boom. And he says, I'm hoping and praying that that things will get better. And so I think we can pray for him as well. So let's go before the Lord in prayer this morning as we pray. Father God, thank you so much for this day that you've given to us. And thank you for the fact that no matter where we run, no matter where we hide, we can't outrun your love. What we are called to do, though, is to turn around and embrace you and love you in return. And by doing so, Lord, we find ourselves falling deeper and deeper into your arms, and one day we'll realize that we are your children and that you call us sons and daughters, and we have nothing to fear, but everything to gain. And Lord, I pray for those who are right now fighting fires in this freezing weather. I pray that you would protect them and keep them safe. And for those who are struggling with health concerns and broken hips at 30 years old, we ask that you would touch them and heal them up and make them well. For those who are struggling with heart problems, whether it be physical or spiritual or emotional, Lord, I pray that you would touch them and make them well. And Lord, for each and every one of us, may we be reminded this day in some tangible way of your great love for us. And if it takes difficulty and hardship to turn us back to you, I pray that you would bring it, because sometimes the school of hard knocks reminds us and teaches us many things. And you are the great teacher, you are the great lover of our souls, and you want to grow us into all that you want us to be. So whatever come our way, we will face it with you by our side, because we love you, and we thank you, and we praise you this day, Lord Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. You know, it's only taken me half a century to realize something. Life never stops until it finally does. Now, if you think about that, it sounds kind of weird, and you go, that's Vince at his finest right there. But the reality is that life goes on every day. And it doesn't stop ever until it does. Now, sometimes it stops for some of us that we love and some of the people that we care about, but there are many times where we forget that once we're gone, life continues on. And looking at the Bible and reading through Scripture, we see that. We see that since the garden all the way through this day, the words of God ring true. That we are caught up in this cycle and we're in this day-to-day life that is for the living. And yet, so much of our time is spent trying to figure out how to avoid the not living part. But I want you guys all to know that some point in time in your future, there will come a day when life stops for you, but it continues for those around you. And that's okay, because God is true, and he loves you and has an incredible plan for you for what happens next. You know, they say that there are only two things certain in this life, and that's death and taxes. And in 2020, it seems like we've seen enough of those, haven't we? As long as men rule and people continue having babies, there will be more of the same, death and taxes coming our way. Because with every new life guarantees that someday someone's going to die. You know, I don't have a crystal ball telling me what is going to lay ahead for each and every one of us in 2021, but I do have some pretty good advice and some history to remind us all about that the more things seem to change, the more they really stay the same. You see, in 995 BC, King Solomon wrote what he saw and learned throughout his lifetime. 3,000 years later, those things still ring true for us. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 15, it says, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. There's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, and a time to weep and a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up. There's a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, and a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What does the worker gain from his toil? I've seen the burden God has laid on men. He has made everything beautiful in its own time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and to do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in his toil. This is a gift of God. I know that everything that God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. God does it so that men will revere him. Whatever is has already been, and whatever will be has been before. And God will call to pass the past to account." You know, it's interesting that Solomon wrote those words 3,000 years ago. And we look at them today and we sit there and we see those things. We've seen babies born and people die. You know, it's kind of interesting that Anne's grandson and my son share the same birthday. They're born 20 years apart, but the really cool thing is they were both born, but I hate to inform everyone in the room that there is coming a day when they too will die. We all will. That's part of having a birth date. You know what that is. The end date is what's difficult. And no matter what, if Facebook tells you that your birthday is January 1st, it might not be January 1st, people. Don't believe what you read on the Facebook feeds. Because I got more birthday wishes on January 1st than I could ever imagine, and it's not my birthday. But the interesting thing is that for all of us, we have some neat things that take place year after year. You ever notice how we do rack up those birthdays one after another, it seems? See, today, my oldest child turns 24. Yesterday, my second child turned 21. Later this month, I've got one turning 19, and a few months from now, I get one that turns 18, and last year, I turned 50. Can some of you remember back to 50, how good that was? It don't feel good, so I can't imagine what it's going to be like when I catch up with you. Every day I wake up and I roll over in bed, I wonder how it is I keep waking up with the same 29-year-old year after year. It's pretty amazing. But in 5 years, it's going to get creepy when our daughter is the same age as she is, so she might have to turn 30 one of these days just to stay ahead of her. But you know what? Every year, every day, every hour, every minute, we choose how we will live out our Ecclesiastes life. How we're going to live the day that the Lord puts in front of us, whether it's life or death or it's hardship or plentiful, or whatever comes our way, we get to choose how we're going to live that out. Everyone before Solomon and everyone after him can expect that life will take place every single day. But how we face life is a whole different matter. Some face life full of fear, worried about what's coming next, What's going to happen tomorrow? What haven't I planned for? What haven't I prepared for? And they're surprised when difficult things come, and they're going, how could God let this happen to me? Sometimes they face it and they're scared, because every time the door creaks or something drops, they get scared of what's coming next. Sometimes people are hurt and live hurt because of their past. Sometimes they're angry because of what's going on. And sometimes they live their lives as victims because they feel like no one understands, and why did this have to happen to me? And so many people try to face whatever it is that they're going to face alone. They don't ask for the help that they need. They don't realize that God is there for them and by their side and will help them in their times of trouble, but they refuse to ask. Some people face each new day willingly. They do it with joy no matter what comes their way. They expect things to go wrong. Yep, it's a new day of opportunity for good and bad to happen. And they face it eagerly and they face it victoriously because they know that they don't face their day alone, and that whatever comes their way, at the end of the day, they're going to put their head on their pillow and rest in peaceful sleep that night, or they're going to be walking with their Savior and their Lord. Either way, it's a great day to be alive. But most of us don't have that perspective. And you know, we're going to face those things, all these things in the year to come, in the months ahead, in the days that we encounter. It's all going to take place. So my thought is, maybe we ought to control the narrative and help God write the story for us. Maybe we can enter into this new year with a different perspective that allows us to make the most out of 2021. You see, 2020 tried to make something out of us. And looking around this room, I'm seeing that it did some damage. But God's using it to make us into something better and stronger. And we have some incredible opportunities for us. None of us expected to be here in 2021, if you listen to the news in 2020. We were all supposed to have died. We were all supposed to not be here, because this was going to kill us all. It's true. It was going to kill us all. Some have been waiting to die and failing to live in the process because we've been afraid that our God isn't bigger than COVID-19. Some of us have been wasting our lives, even as Christians, waiting for the inevitable thing called death to come for us. So everybody do me a favor. Take a breath. It's a great day to be alive, no matter what. You know, the way we've lived in fear and worry and in doubt, we would all make terrible Vikings. I'm serious. To them, every day that they got up, whether it was raining and cold and nasty, was a great day to die, because they knew that there was something great waiting for them. They lived like their day, like today was their last day. And you know what? The truth of the matter is, today could be our last day. And it's a great day to be alive. And you know what? As a Christian, I can say it's a great day to die. Because I know where I'm going, and I hope you do too. But if I have to get up and live another day tomorrow, I want to make sure that I live the best I can today. And so I'm going to give us four things that we can do as people who want to do something with our lives, right? So things that we can do, things that we can control that will allow us to live our best life in 2021 and do it with a purpose and help God out along the way. He doesn't need our help, but he invites us to join him in the journey to make something great happen. And he says, you're all along for the ride anyways, so why don't we do that? But it's going to come at some sacrifice, and the first thing that we can do is this. We can cut yourself free from things that do not benefit your life or the lives of others. I'll read that again. Cut yourself free from things that do not benefit your life or the lives of others. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 says this, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." You know, what's beautiful is that in Hebrews chapter 12, it follows Hebrews chapter 11. And chapter 11 is full of these people who struggled through life, but yet they were bold enough to let go of and being willing to let go of things so that they could follow God. Whether it was Abraham willing to sacrifice Isaac, whether it was Jonah to finally surrender and preach, whether it was Moses willing to lead, whether it was a prostitute willing to trust God. All of those people had to be willing to let go of things in their lives so that they could walk forward by faith into a new day with him. And Paul gives us that greatest of all examples in Jesus Christ when he says that, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." See, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that there are things hindering our lives as followers of Jesus Christ this morning. Things that keep us from being our best for God and the people closest to us and the people in the world that need us the most. There are habits, routines, and predictable patterns that are so out of whack in our lives that it keeps us from becoming who we really want to be. We've got patterns and predictable patterns and routines so deeply ingrained into us. I wrote down, Google is hoping that we switch to some other search engine because we only have two or three things in our lives. For some of us, it's not habits, but maybe it's people and friends. You see, people and friends either build us up and make us better or hold us back, tear us down, or rip us apart. And sometimes we need to get rid of old bad habits and start new patterns and new routines, but sometimes that comes by letting go and being willing to let go of friends and people that lead us back to the trough of sin time and time again. So that's all on us. We're led into the temptation of sin, and God provides a way out, and he says, we choose what we're going to do. And sin, while fun for a moment, it disheartens us and disconnects us from God. It's just like when my kids mess up and they go, they don't quite look at me the same because they know I know. It's kind of like yesterday when we came home from shopping and Jared walked in, and he could tell by the pattern that the dogs were scattering with that somebody did something wrong, and he found it and took care of the mess. But the interesting thing is we're no different than dogs or children. We need to look at our lives, and we need to find out, is there something I can cut out that's going to allow me to rise up? Maybe I need to stop spending so much time with this friend that I always have a good time with, but it's always the wrong good time. And those sins that we think are so secret, they're not. Because the only one that matters sees every sin that we commit. And he's saying, you don't have to do that anymore. You just don't. I don't believe that we have anybody here named Roxanne, so I can quote the great song from the 80s. It's Roxanne, you don't have to turn on the red light. Some of you know what that means. And we don't have to turn on the green light to sin in our lives either. And you know, I don't have this all together. I still have sin in my life. I still have people in my life, and I have habits and routines in my life that just hold me back from becoming what God wants me to be and what you need me to be. And 2021 is a year for all of us to work on these things. I got to tell you something. I had 2 weeks off from everything, and I only did the things I wanted to do. It was great. I was able to relax and be with my family and sit in a cabin in the woods, and it was fantastic. I got to choose to be happy no matter what, and that included 7 people and 2 dogs living in less than 1,000 square feet together. It was fantastic. They were stuck inside, and I went and worked on my building. And it was great because I did everything I could not to get angry, because anybody else struggle with anger? Anybody? Come on, someone join one person. Oh, we got 2. Good. Thank you for honesty. I get angry fast, and I get hot quick, and it don't dissipate. And the Wolzinski said, well, they didn't say it very loud, but you heard them. I failed a few times. It wasn't pretty. But in that couple weeks, with no emails, I came back and I was shocked. I only had 80 emails to deal with, and Mediacom only threatened to shut down my account 40 times of those 80 emails. So it was like I missed a whole lot, right? I didn't have to deal with phone calls or problem solving, other than what was I going to make for dinner. And as long as it revolved around turkey, we were good because we had plenty of leftovers. I was happy and I could breathe. And my family left early and they came back and it was just me there. And I can tell you, if you're a hermit and all alone, you've got the potential to be at peace and breathe. And you're like, you look at the dog and say, what do you want to do today? It's great, but that's not the world we live in, is it? It's full of phone calls and emails and distractions and struggles and all of these things. And sometimes we have to strip away things before we can have real peace. I didn't let anything in that wasn't going to hinder my progress, that was going to hinder my progress of being with my family and love them, or from completing the task I had set out to accomplish out in the middle of a woods. And when you eliminate the distractions and the hindrances from your life and focus on what matters and what you're called to do, life is pretty darn good all the time. But you don't have to go out into the middle of the woods or take 2 weeks off to begin to transform your life. You still have to come back to reality. But the big thing is, and the important thing is that you have to be willing to let go of the things that are holding you back. The second thing is that you can do to make the most out of this year is to focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Paul wrote in Hebrews, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And you know, I want to look at this a little different there, because the struggle I have is, how could Jesus do something for us that we won't do for ourselves? I mean, we're not gutsy enough to shut off the internet coming into our house, let alone to die on a cross for our sins. We're not bold enough to tell somebody, I can't have you in my life any longer because you just lead me the wrong way and I'm dumb enough to follow you. We don't stop doing the things that we know are sin and displease God, even though we know the great price that was paid. I just struggle with us, and why is it that we trivialize the death of Jesus Christ on the cross for our salvation and forgiveness the way we do? I don't get it. It wasn't something easy. Because if you remember back to the garden prayers when he's sweating drops of blood and he collapses on the ground and he's asking God and he's begging God, is there any other way? And God says, no, my son, there's not. You know this is the way. And he says, well, not my will, but your will. How is it that Jesus has a greater investment in our life and how it turns out that we're willing to make? Yeah, Jesus was born for that moment. But the way he was able to do it was because he had learned to remove all those hindrances and distractions away from his life that would prevent him from doing what he was born to do. And he stayed focused on his Father and what he was asking him to do. You see, the garden before the imminent cross was not Jesus' first time falling on his face before his Father in prayer. Early before dawn, he got up every day to spend time alone in prayer with his Father, to spend time connected to him, because he knew that everything that took place after that moment wasn't as important as what was happening in that moment. He started his day sacrificing time he could have been sleeping in and pushing the snooze button before he attempted to do anything for God or anything with his life. And God always met him there. I think that the Mount of Transfiguration was the glimpse of what mornings look like. For Jesus. When the disciples got to see the glory of God, some amazing men that came and met with Jesus. They heard God bring down a cloud and speak, "This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased." And you know what? Jesus doesn't say we can't have that with his Father, but tells us this is for you too. That if you're willing to invest and to ask and seek and knock and come to him and sacrifice to be with him, he's going to do some amazing things in your life. Jesus reminds us he'll never leave us nor forsake us, and he's with us always. Everywhere you go, he goes with you. Everything you do, you make him a part of it. Every word you speak, he hears. And does that make anybody nervous besides me? Because I've done some things as a Christian that Jesus ain't proud of. I've said some things that weren't very God-honoring. And I've been wandering thinking Jesus wouldn't see a time or two in my life. But you don't have to wait until the time is right and easy to do that. You can come back and start again today with him. You can seek him out and pray to him and read your Bible and ask him to make it make sense for you and your life. You can start looking for him around every corner and listen for him as he coaches you through every moment of your life. And he says he will never leave you nor forsake you. And the challenge for you is to never lose sight of him in your walk, in your journey through today and maybe into tomorrow. So focus on Jesus, but also this is important, the do number three, devote yourself to something of value. Colossians 3:23-25 says, "And whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that what you receive is an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism." You know, you ever gone out to eat and your plate comes at the table or the salad bar and it's already got food on it? Does that bother anybody? You know what I'm saying? When dishes are half done and there's still food crusted on there, does that kind of gross you out? Somebody didn't do their job. Somebody didn't scrub hard enough. Somebody didn't clean. Somebody didn't work at it with, like, somebody else is going to eat off that plate. They didn't put their best effort in, whether they're washing dishes or cleaning toilets or painting a painting. Or what God is telling us is that He doesn't care what we do in this world. But whatever we do in this world, we need to do it to the absolute best of our abilities. 100% all in. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing well. And it's worth doing well, it's worth doing to the best of your ability, even if it kills you doing it. So the question I have is, are we living like that and doing that with our lives as we follow Him? See, if anything is worth doing for the Lord, it's worth doing the best we can, because everything we do with our lives is for Him. Colossians 3:18 through 22. See, 23 through 25, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, is working for the Lord, not for men, because what you're doing it for the Lord. Comes out of this passage that nobody likes. Wives. Oh, man, I just said the word wives and everybody shifts. Submit to your husband as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and don't be harsh with them. Another spot he says, as Christ loved the church and gave his life for her. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Oh, I'll clean my room. Fathers, don't embitter your children, or they'll become discouraged. And then he says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. And he goes on to say that whatever you do, slave, work at it with all your heart as you're working for the Lord, not for men, because slave, that's what you're doing. I want to remind you that, yes, we are sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords Most High. We are also considered slaves and servants because we're His, and there's work to be done. I told Dick this morning, I said, Dick, I got my wall rebuilt on my garage that burnt half down in 1968. And I said, well, it's not Dick Immel approved, but it's good enough for who it's for. It's for me. And he's like, huh. And he turns around and walks away. I'm like, okay. when it comes to building something, you won't find someone who can do much better than Dick Immel. Put as much care. Because when he does something for you, he's doing it for Jesus. He ain't doing it for you anyways. But maybe we need to work a little harder than we do. Do it a little better than we do, because it's not for us, it's for Him. So whether we're given a cup of water, a piece of food, a hand-me-down bag of clothes, we're doing it all for Him. And you know what? Like I said, when I started out, after half a century, I finally realized why people make better grandparents than they do parents and children. Because it takes us this long to start figuring things out, doesn't it? When was the last time you did anything to the best of your ability? 100%, all in. When you walked away, you're like, I can do no better. And you did it just for God, expecting nothing in return. Just because you love Him. you know, something to restart your soul and jumpstart your life in the right direction for the days ahead can be found in Acts 2:42. It'll help you devote yourself back to him. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. 3,000 plus people came to know Jesus as their Savior and Lord, made a radical shift from their monotonous lives, the daily grind from the cradle to the grave, and they found themselves living lives with promise and future. And they did it when they started focusing their lives around the Word of God. They focused on one another, and they focused living to sacrifice, living into the sacrifice of the Savior and to prayer. They did what the Christian church claims to do today. My question is, how devoted are you to these things with your daily life or daily living right now? Are you spending time in your Bible? Are you loving others and trying to help them? Is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as real today for you and what he did for you on the cross as the day that he saved you first time? Do you spend time in prayer every day with him? Why does it matter, Vince? What's the big deal? I mean, I'm going to die and be with Jesus someday. What's the big deal? Well, how well do you want to live for God, and how much do you want to influence the world that you live in for positive change? You see, your focus on Jesus Christ, his word, and his will transform your world and the world around you. Because Acts 2:43 through 47 tells us this: everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as they had need, and every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. See, ladies and gentlemen, that's the really cool thing. He can take you from where you're at right now, remake you into something great, but he lets you help make the cookies. He helps you join in, and he says the main ingredients are going to be prayer, my word, loving people around, and never forgetting what he's done. And Jesus said something pretty significant about his life and how we should live like it. John 13:17, he says, now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. And that's how we need to live, for him, like him. Do number four, and we're almost out the door. All right? Have you ever built a snowman? Ooh, a couple of you woke up. That's good. We can't do it today because this icy snow is not good. But you know that snow that when you start out with that little ball and you put it there and you give it a push, it just starts growing and getting bigger and bigger and bigger and you can't push it no more. And then you start right next to it and you start making another one. Have you ever noticed that the snowballs get a little smaller when you start stacking them to make the snowman? It's because you're getting tired of making the great big ones, and you can't push as far. So you start a little closer, and you make the next one a little smaller, and you stack it up, and you do that. But what's really cool is, remember some of those movies when the snowball would start rolling over the hill, and it would come down the hill under its own momentum, and it would gather up everything in its path, and it would become this giant snowball with sticks and arms and legs and people hanging out of it, and you see skis and everything. It's really cool. Right now, you're the snowball on the edge of a cliff. And I hate to tell you that the sun's going to come out tomorrow and it's going to melt you if you don't do something. So I want to encourage you to get some forward momentum and throw yourself over the edge. And let momentum and God grow you into something great. And you gather up everything you need along the way. It's called life. And you roll and you roll and you roll until you become this massive snowball that someone comes alongside you one day and puts in the middle section. And together you build something great. But you see, for us to make that jump over the edge, we have to be willing to sacrifice some things. And Philippians 4, 8, 9 remind us of that. Finally, brothers, in 20:21, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, and whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace, he will be with you. You know, I'm going to tell you that chances are, I'm not going to say you won't find any good on Facebook, but you're going to have to search way harder on Facebook and TikTok and all these other things to find something good, a lot harder than you would if you just open up your Bible. You're going to, anything that's going to benefit you and benefit the lives of others, chances are you're going to need to do something different than you have been if you want to make a different life and a different future and a different world than you currently live in. You're going to have to find the one true, noble, right, pure, lovely thing, the admirable thing called Jesus, and focus on him for whatever comes your way this year and the year after. Because tomorrow is going to happen when it becomes today. And God wants you to be prepared for whatever comes your way. So I jotted this down this morning. So whatever comes our way this year, may we face it with the firm foundation built from God's word. With a sincere faith, because we have been with the Savior. May we walk with confidence and boldness that comes from having the Lord in front of us leading the way, and may the Holy Spirit inside of us drive out all fear. May we live for Jesus Christ like there is no tomorrow, and this is the last day that we have to live for him. For this is the day the Lord has made for us to live in him. And as Paul said in Romans 14:8, if we live to the Lord. And if we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to him. You know, some people would think this is a great day to die. I think it's a great day that God's given us to live. So let's live today for him. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the day that you've given to us. Because this day is going to be something that we make with you. You've got great things in store. You've got things planned out. And you know, things will change for us as we participate in your plan. It always changes a little bit. There's only probably one day that things went perfectly according to plan for us, and that was when Jesus died for us. But today, Lord, I just ask that we would live this day letting go of things that keep us down and keep us back from you. That we live this day focusing on you, the author and the perfecter of our faith. That we would live this day throwing ourselves over the edge into whatever you have in front of us, because you are there with us. And that you would be the priority, because you will handle the outcome. So Lord, whether we live or we die this day, may be it all for your glory. And it's in the wonderful name of Jesus that all God's people said. Amen. Let's stand as we sing our closing song together.
Yeah.
Couple quick reminders before we go. Tomorrow night's council meeting here at the church, 7 o'clock. The other is offering envelopes are out there on the table. If you have not picked yours up and would like to do so, please do so following service. And also on the way out, there's offering plates there, and you guys know what to do with those. So if you can, please give and give joyfully to the Lord. So let's pray. Father God, I am glad for this new day. It's not about 2021 or 2020. It's about today with you and how we choose to live it. And Lord, I just pray that we would be a people who rise above the fear and the doubt, the sin, and the discontentment, and that we would live with purpose and joy and fulfillment that only comes from living for you. And may we live our lives in such a way that it brings glory and honor to you. In Jesus' precious and holy name, all God's people said, amen. Have a great week, folks. We'll see you.